fan. On demand. Log on to Sportsnet590.ca. Sign up to automatically receive the latest reports, features, and Fan 590 show highlights. Work can wait. It's time to talk sports with Jeff Blair.
All right, I kind of felt bad for Brendan Shanahan yesterday. I think he showed up expecting some sort of welcome home party and basically found himself walking right into the middle of an inquisition. Now, look, it could have been worse. He could have been Dave Nonis, who was basically forced to sit in a dais and hear Lewicki and Shanahan essentially say he'd failed not only in terms of the team not making the playoffs, but also had a hand in maintaining, if not entirely creating, a culture that now needed changing. I mean, I thought Shanahan came across as properly political, and boringness is going to serve him very well in this role. Lewicki dropped all the expected catchphrases and was pointedly critical and vague at the same time, which you can do when you don't have to worry about selling tickets. Now, both men were far more forthcoming on primetime sports. Lewicki made clear that the relationship between Nonis and Shanahan will be reevaluated at the end of next season. Guess who walks if it doesn't work out? And Lewicki did little to kill the growing rumor in local sports business circles that he may not be at MLSE for the long haul, that this is some kind of bridge job between his former role at AEG and a new position with the group pursuing an NFL team. On the day MLSE hired Lewicki, I asked somebody who worked with him at AEG how long he'd stay in Toronto. That person said, well, 3 years maybe, and made clear that the second it appeared as if Toronto wouldn't get an NFL franchise, Lewicki would be gone. Lewicki told Bob McCown and Stephen Brent that his goal was to get, quote, all three teams going at the same time, and suggested he thought TFC and the Raptors were on the right track. That, of course, leaves the Leafs. It's an interesting proposition. Jermaine Defoe's already hurt, and there remain concerns about Ryan Nelson's coaching prowess. The Raptors have carved out what might be the best Toronto sports story since the Blue Jays' back-to-back World Series, but there are still people who see it as a bit of a fluke, a tank job gone bad. Oh, yeah, in the meantime, the NHL playoffs start tomorrow, and guess who isn't in them?
The Jeff Blair Show is on the air on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Join the conversation with Jeff on Twitter using the hashtag Blair Show or call 416-870-0590. Now, here's Jeff Blair.
My life is a stereo. Turn me on and let's go. Turn me up louder. I'll scream as loud and clear as I can scream. And if you like what you're hearing, please hang on to me.
All right, we are getting the playoffs started tomorrow, and Eddie Olchuk of the NHL and NBC will be covering the Blues Blackhawks series, which is going to be outrageously good. And man, it seems like a shame that one of those teams is going to go home at the end of the playoffs. We'll talk to Eddie Olchuk about the playoffs as well. But Eddie, I wanted to get your take on Brendan Shanahan's hiring, because I think you can kind of relate to him in a way, can't you? Because you were named head coach, and at that time, a lot of people pointed out, head coach of the Pittsburgh Penguins, I'm sorry. And at that time, a lot of people said, hey, here's a guy who's sort of getting an entry-level job, and he doesn't have a lot of experience. You can relate to Shanahan.
Yeah, I can. And you know what's funny, Jeff, always great to be with you.
Thanks, yeah, good
Jeff.
To be you, Eddie.
What's funny now is a lot of people that are applauding some of these moves that are being made here as of late, whether it was Joe Sakic, Trevor Linden, Brendan Shanahan. A lot of people north of the border in particular are applauding, you know, moves like this, and the same people that when I got the job, they were like, you know, knives out, and you know, and so, I mean, it takes me back to what, 7-8 years ago, but I mean, things have changed. It seems to be the way that a lot of teams are going, and I think when reading a lot of the comments from Tim Lewicki, and then, you know, just look at it, looking for a change, looking for a different voice, looking for a new direction, change in the culture. You saw that, you know, a lot. And, Brendan Shanahan's been around a long, long time and a couple of different roles as a player and, you know, and getting the opportunity to work at the elite, at the league, and then having, the opportunity to to be in charge of supplementary discipline, and you know, he got the opportunity to go to Toronto. So I mean, it's one of those things when you're in a situation. I think that when you are in charge, is that as long as you have the autonomy to go ahead and hire the people that you want and do the things that you feel are right, it's going to be an easy transition for Brendan Shanahan. Now, in saying that, is you know, when you bring in people, and I did this with Lauren Mollican, who had coached me in Chicago, and I wanted to bring in an assistant coach that would tell me what I needed to know, not what I wanted to hear, mm-hmm. is that you have to have people in there that are willing to do that and not pat you on the back and agree with everything that you say. And I think that will be, you know, one of the things that Brendan Shanahan or Trevor Linden are going to need to do, is to bring in those people that have that healthy discussion in there. And I think that both of those guys, but in particular Brendan Shanahan, will do that.
You know, Eddie, one of the things I haven't been able to figure out is, In this business, in the media business, we always identify people when they play as, hey, this guy might be a boy, we can see this guy being a head coach at some time, or this guy's got what it takes to be a manager, or boy, I can see this guy becoming a general manager and being really successful. Then when people like that do that, and maybe don't go through all the, you know, starting in the minors and then being an assistant GM, yada, yada, we go, oh, wait a minute, how the hell did they jump the queue? You try to have it both ways, don't you?
Yeah. That's just the way that it is. And look, I mean, there are a lot of. I mean, look at Bruce Boudreau, just for example, right? I mean, look, I understand. I played with Gabby in Chicago when he was a part of the organization. I mean, he toiled for a long, long time in the minors as a player, and really never played in the National Hockey League. And then the same thing with the coaching aspect. You know, just down there waiting. Finally gets an opportunity. Does a real good job in Washington, and then. You know, then he gets the opportunity to get out to Anaheim. I mean, that some guys just get that opportunity, and you know, hey, that's the way that it is. I mean, remember when Wayne Gretzky took over in Phoenix? I mean, you know, now I mean, obviously it's Wayne Gretzky, but mm-hmm. you know, I mean, the knives weren't out as much because it was Wayne Gretzky than maybe it was because it was me, or maybe when John Davidson stepped right out of the booth, the television booth down here in the States, to go and take over the St. Louis Blues. I mean, JD had very little experience when it came to when you think about running an organization. So I think the trust factor from the organization, from the people that are able to make those decisions, to bring in somebody and to give them the keys to the camper and see what they can do with it.
What do you think Brendan and David Nonis do with Randy Carlyle? I know that's a topic that's close to your heart, because I know you know Randy really well. He's a friend, a teammate.
You know what? I do. I really don't know. I think when you look at it, and I think that Brendan Shanahan said that in the press conference yesterday, just about looking, he's going to go upstairs and he's going to, you know, assess everything that's going on. And look, it's inevitable that changes are coming. And I think for, you know, thinking about making a decision to move out a coach is, okay, well, what type of team, you know, what type of team is assembled, and is this, you know, what type of team are we going to assemble? I don't think it's really about, if you're asking me, Jeff, I mean, going into that chair and say, okay, well, you know, what has gone on here? I mean, there's been some real positives and there's been some real negatives. There's no doubt about it. But what type of team are we planning on having? Okay, to take the con, you got to bring in the contracts, because that's all part of, you know, how are we going to look come the first drop of the puck in the first week of October. What type of team are we going to have? And is the coach that we have in place, that being Randy Carlyle, is he the guy to be able to get us and take us back to where we were the prior season? And that's a decision that they need to, you know, that they need to make. And again, I mentioned it earlier, I think it's most important is that if you're going to be in charge, you have to have people in there that you feel comfortable with, the people that you can trust, and the people that are going to turn around and tell you, you know what? No, I don't agree with you. I think that we need this. So that's all, you know, I think that's all part of it. So, you know, do I think Randy's going to be back? I'm really not sure, because I think that Brendan Shanahan is saying what he's going to do. He's going to go ahead and take a look and talk to people and assess and get himself to get the lay of the land and then make that decision. I don't think that he's going to make any, you know, rash decision here. But I think in fairness, because of it, it is being Toronto, is that I think that, you know, you're not going to leave people. I would not leave people hanging, I should say. I would not leave. If I make my decision, it's not going to be we're going to leave them hanging for, you know, 2, 3, 4 weeks. I don't think that that's the way that you want to do business. I would not. But again, maybe it takes that long to be able to get an assessment. You know, maybe you talk to some players, get an idea. You know, the dialogue, and there's always two sides to every story, right? I mean, you just can't talk to players and not talk to the coaches. Or, you know, to me, you want the truth somewhere in between. Mm-hmm. You go talk to the training staff. You go talk to the trainers, the lifeline of the National Hockey League and all the teams. You want the truth. You go talk to the trainers, and then you'll get a real good assessment of what the hell's going on.
Eddie Olchuk of the NHL on NBC joins us on the Jeff Blair Show. Eddie, as we look at the matchups, the playoff matchups, you've got that yeah. St. Louis Chicago series, which the Blues looked for the longest time like they were done and dusted, and they were going to win the President's yeah. Trophy, or at least have a shot at it. Now they go sure. into this losing six in a row. What's your take on the Blues? Because I look at that series and it's all the series in the West are pretty tough to call for the most part, but that one, I just don't know what St. Louis team I'm going to see, and I presume it's going to be a healthy Blackhawks team, but you really don't know who's going to show up, do you?
Yeah, it looks like it's going to be a healthy complement of players for Joel Quenneville and the Blackhawks going into game one on Thursday. Now, I mean, Taves and Kane have been out, you know, quite a long time, and there's always that rust factor and always that mental hurdle, Jeff, as we talked about for, you know, the longest time, is a player has to get over that, you know, that hurdle of the mental block, if you want to use that term, of testing the injury and say, okay, yeah, I'm okay. I mean, there's always that part of it, and certain players take a little bit longer, but it looks like that the Blackhawks are healthy going in. Now on the Blues, it's on the other side of the ledger. They're limping in badly. I mean, they missed, you know, they were missing a lot of key guys down the stretch. As you mentioned, six in a row, they didn't score a lot of goals. And, Jeff, if you rewind the tape and go back to prior to the trade deadline, we talked about the Blues in particular, and two things I mentioned. One was a goalie, and two is getting another offensive guy, getting a difference maker. And I still look at the St. Louis Blues, even when healthy, Jeff, even mm-hmm. when healthy, is who is that guy that has the ability with one or two golden chances in the offensive zone to put the puck in the back of the net? I mean, the way that Alex Steen started this year, you'd say it was him for sure, because what, the guy had 25 goals in 29 games or whatever the crazy number was. But he's slowed down, and I mean, you know, is he that type of player? Probably not, but he's not that type of guy. I think he needs, like most players in this league, you know, four or five opportunities to get, you know what I'm saying, golden opportunities to get one goal. I mean, Vladimir Tarasenko's been on a long, long time. He seems like he's maybe one of those difference makers with one or two chances the puck could end up in the back of the net, but he's been out since, I think, early March, and that's an awful lot to ask a second-year player. So for me, is do they have enough offense to compete with the Blackhawks when healthy? Now, again, we don't know what's going on, you know, on the inside with Backes and Oshie mm-hmm. and Sobotka. I mean, you can go on and on. So it'll be interesting, but to me, I'm not ready to call whoever wins game one is going to win the series, but if you're Chicago, you got a team that's coming in, and they're fragile for sure. I don't think they're doubting their ability, their confidence, because I don't think Ken Hitchcock will allow that. And I think with the leadership of Barrett Jackman and Alex Steen in there and David Backes, I don't think they're going to know it's a fresh start come playoff time. But if you're Chicago, you know you got a team that's coming in that's fragile. You got an opportunity there in game one to continue to keep, you know, to continue to have that doubt mm-hmm. in the back of the mind to the St. Louis Blues, and the Blues win one game, all of a sudden, if they win game one, all of a sudden it's like, hey, this is who we are, this is what we expect, and then all of a sudden, I think it's a long series regardless, Jeff, I really do. I mean, you have people saying 4 and 5 games with the way the Blues are playing, the Blackhawks getting healthy. I can't see 5 games. I really can't. Like, I think this is going the distance. I really believe that. But for the Blues, is I think game one is really, really crucial and important, not only because of winning game one, but I just think for the mental psyche of really washing out what happened in the last 6 games. And one last thing, with Ryan Miller,
mm-hmm.
he played really well in that Detroit game. They lost 3-0. And when you're only scoring, what, 5 or 6 goals in the last 6 games, we know it puts a lot of pressure on the goaltender for sure. He's the guy to me that has the ability to be able to go ahead and hold a fourth down in a playoff game. The rink gets smaller in the playoffs. And I think for Ryan Miller, remember how good he played there to start? He struggled at the end, but he played really well in that Detroit game, even though they lost 3-0.
The winner of that series goes on to play the winner of Colorado and Minnesota. I'm intrigued about Patrick Waugh coaching in the playoffs. Does he have to do anything differently? That's still a fairly young team. Does he have to do anything?
Especially on the back end.
Yeah, does he have to do anything different because it's the playoffs?
I'm sorry?
Does he have to do anything different because it's the playoffs?
I don't. You know what? I don't think so. I really don't. No. I mean, how are the playoffs going to affect young players on, mm-hmm. on the back end, whether it's Barry or Gannon or Benoit? I mean, when you really break down the back end of the Colorado Avalanche, Jeff, you go, wow, you talk about a lot of inexperience. And the same thing could be said, and I think we touched on the Boston Bruins, maybe when the Bees were in Toronto, a couple of weeks ago, we talked about Claude Julien, and I think I mentioned and I used the word youngness. I mean, look at how young the back end has been for the majority of the season for the Boston Bruins. I mean, from Bartkowski to Krug to Miller to Hamilton. I mean, playing with those guys for the majority of the year. Now, yeah, you got a great starting block and foundation with, you know, Zdeno Chara and Johnny Boychuk, who I think is a very underrated defenseman. But it's hard to play in this league, let alone to have, you know, a lot of guys that haven't even played, you know, 60 games in their NHL career coming into the season, each one of those guys that I had mentioned. But I think for Colorado, this is one series, Jeff, that the Minnesota Wild have changed their style of play a bit, and they're getting out-of-this-world goaltending from, you know who, Ilya Bryshkalov, mm-hmm. right? I mean, he's been lights out, and I think there's a real strong confidence there in Minnesota. I think this is another series, and you hit it on the head. The Western Conference is so close. I do not see any short series. Now, I think the teams are so close where, you know, a team could get on a roll and win every game 2-1 like L.A. did there a couple of years ago when they won the Cup and starting all their, you know, games on the road. But to me, Minnesota, they're a much different team than they were last year and in the prior years. And the one thing that the reason why is because they have the confidence and they're playing a little bit more offensive. You have to be able to play offensive in the Western Conference in order to have success.
Eddie, before I let you go, I do want to mention, by the way, that Barry Trotz is going to join the Hockey Central crew this afternoon, along with Bill Daly. And what do you see the future holding for Barry Trotz?
Well, I think he's going to have his pick at the jobs that become available, and it's inevitable. And look, I've been in that position. I don't want to see anybody get whacked or mm-hmm. anybody lose their job. It's just. I mean, it is the nature of the business and the vicious cycle of the National Hockey League. But I think that he's done too well with a team and have a team overachieve as much as the Nashville Predators have over the years. And I know the last 2 years have been, you know, not where Barry Trotz wants to be in the Nashville Predators, but, you know, sometimes you got to make a change. And I think, unfortunately for him, the sand and the hourglass ran out. But I think he's going to end up on his feet. And again, he's had some experience with some other organizations, prior to coming to Nashville. And if some of those jobs may become available, I think that Barry Trotz could be somewhere if a position opens up very quickly.
Eddie, it was good of you to do this. Travel safely during the playoffs, and we'll look forward to doing it again.
Jeff, thanks for having me. Always a pleasure. Thanks.
Take care. That is Eddie Olchuk of the NHL on NBC. And, Barry Trotz, of course, his run in Nashville over. He coached the team every game in its 15-year history. It's funny about Barry Trotz because he was actually a defenseman at the University of Manitoba when I was going there, and I was a school newspaper editor. That's how long ago it was. So again, just to remind you, Hockey Central today at 12:10, Barry Trotz will join Jeff Merrick, Gord Stellick, and Denny Potvin, and NHL Deputy Commissioner Bill Daly will join Hockey Central in studio at 12:30 ahead of what is going to be a tremendous playoff season. I mean, just looking at these matchups in the West, the East, the original six matchup between the Wings and the Bruins, the Habs, the only Canadian team against the Tampa Bay Lightning, the Rangers and Flyers, a longtime rivalry, and the Pittsburgh Penguins, which a team that's got an awful lot of pressure on them. I'll tell you what, I don't think any coach has as much pressure on him as Dan Bylsma does in Pittsburgh. And if Pittsburgh goes out in the first round, do not be surprised if that's a destination for Barry Trotz. Do not be surprised at all, even though I know he's known as a systems guy. Don't be surprised if he ends up there. 416-870-0590, *590, 1-888-666-0590. Want to shift our focus back to Brendan Shanahan, the news conference yesterday. Just want your initial take on it. I mean, I don't know. It's funny because people were saying, well, they thought Brendan Shanahan was guarded. And the guy had the job for like 48 hours. I don't know what people were expecting, a detailed analysis of the organization. I mean, geez, folks, it's, you know, you've got people in place here who've been with this organization for 4 years who clearly don't know what the hell to make of this team. I don't know what you expected of Brendan Shanahan in a 48-hour period. A couple of things I found interesting, though. One, it is pretty clear, just judging body language, that Dave Nonis would rather have been just about any place else other than sitting up on that platform yesterday. And secondly, it was pretty clear to me that Brendan Shanahan not only has all the power, he knows that he has all the power. And there's a big difference. You know, if you heard Trevor Linden had the deer in the headlights look about him in Vancouver. And I didn't get that sense with Brendan Shanahan. Now, maybe that's Brendan Shanahan has an ability to command a room. That could be the case. But my initial impression of Brendan Shanahan was that he was properly political. You know, he didn't throw anybody directly under the bus, although by essentially supporting what Tim Lewicki was saying about culture change, you know, in a matter of speaking, he was certainly pointing the finger at David Nonis and by extension, Randy Carlyle. And this is a thing that I don't think can be stressed enough. I find it really odd that Randy Carlyle is not addressing the media the day after his team is eliminated. I believe tomorrow's the day. I find that odd that the head coach gets a couple of days off before addressing the media, which is just, and that's just a media thing. I mean, it really doesn't mean anything other than you'd sort of like the coach to be there the day after and sort of, you know, get that sense of some sense of closure before everybody hits the golf course. But, you know, the one thing I don't think was stressed enough, that people kept talking about David Nonis and culture change. And, you know, with all due respect, it's the head coach, not the general manager, who sets the culture in a dressing room, in a locker room, in a clubhouse, whatever. It's the head coach. It's the head coach and his minions. Now, you can say that David Nonis hired Randy Carlyle or was part of the process of hiring Randy Carlyle. Therefore, he created the environment. But the environment is a thing that changes. The culture is a thing that changes. It's an organic thing. And the people who are closest to the scene, other than the players, are the coaches. So this idea that somehow David Nonis bears total responsibility for whatever cultural issues are plaguing this franchise is just wrong. So what was your take on Brendan Shanahan? 416-870-0590, *590, 1-888-666-0590. I wasn't surprised by anything I saw. I wasn't surprised by anything I heard. I think this is what you're going to get from Brendan Shanahan. He's not Brian Burke. I think you may get sort of grand statements on the state of the game, but that will be as a result of Brendan Shanahan's former role as chief disciplinarian. I can't see Brendan Shanahan going up to a lectern and announcing that they're going to trade for a first-round draft pick or that they're going to trade for John Tavares or the chance to take John Tavares. I don't see that ever happening. I don't see him being that bold publicly. But I certainly, I was certainly left with the notion that this is a guy who really does have an idea of what he wants. And it's interesting, you know, Eddie Olczyk made that point and it got me thinking. We identify people in their careers as being potential GMs or potential coaches. And then if some of them take a shortcut, we go, well, wait a minute. Why did you jump the queue? Maybe this guy isn't ready. I made the point earlier. I don't look at being as the president of MLSE as being an entry level job. Or I'm sorry, the president of the lease as being an entry level job. I would prefer a guy with a Lou Lamoriello background or a Ken Holland background. They're not available. I get that. But I'm saying that's what I would like in my president of hockey. Having said that, hearing people who know Brendan Shanahan, who played with him, who've been around him in the league office, hearing people who know people who know him, it's pretty clear that he is highly thought of. And he's a smart guy. So what was your take on Brendan Shanahan? What was your take on that whole scene? Tim Lewicki, Brendan Shanahan, David Nonis. Stephen Brunt's going to join us in a few minutes, by the way. I'm going to talk to him about that fascinating interview he and Bob McCowan had with Tim Lewicki. We're going to play a couple of clips from it. More revealing than anything I heard yesterday from anybody about anything. Tim and Kitchener, you're on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Good morning, Jeff. Jeff, if you look up the word mole, culture in the dictionary, it comes up mold. It's a green thing. If I hear that word one more time, Jeff, for the last 9 years, the Leafs had never been Chicago Blackhawks. They'd never had Seabrook and Keith and Taze and Kane and Sharp. They'd never had that. They had needed their skilled players to overachieve and their role players to overachieve. That's simply put. I mean, you know, Pierre McGuire's word, cycle. What makes a good cycle? Three guys that are strong in the puck and could stick handle in a phone booth. That's what makes a good cycle. Skilled players. And they got to get rid of the deadwood over, and they have to be a team that overachieves. I did a quick look at the Sun when they rated everybody A, B+. Plus.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, really, Jeff, aside from Kessel, Van Riemsdyk, Bernier, maybe throw in Bozak, who else overachieved? Kadri got the quietest 20 goals I've ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
You need role players to overachieve. Forget the culture, the cycles, the system. You need 19.
Oh, Tim dropped the line. The culture of Tim's cell phone needs adjusting. Just kidding, Tim. 416-870-0590, star 590. 1-888-666-0590. Now, look, it's a talent level. There's no doubt about that. It's a talent level. But anyway, we can all see that. I don't know, and Bob McCown made this point in primetime really well. Culture change. What does that mean? Are we suggesting that we've kind of revisited the Muskoka Five here? I don't think so. I don't get that sense. Seems to me the only culture around here, or the thing that needs changing around here, is how this team plays hockey. He really needs to get a clue out in the ice. And it needs to have a coach who can help them get that clue. Victor in Milton, you're on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Good morning, Jeff. I know you're not living the life this morning. Oh, wow. Listen, you know what? I hate the term culture as well. But to answer your question about the impression I got from Brendan, from the gentleman yesterday,
mm-hmm.
is that he understands that it's going to be small incremental changes that gets you into the playoffs. And from there, more small changes that get you to be competitive and to win the Stanley Cup. I think a lot of the times we make these big moves and we put a lot of burden on these big moves like Clarkson and Bernier, and that's supposed to get us over the top. So I think he's a detailed guy, and that's what we're missing. Now, this thing about culture, we all know, culture is not something that you develop overnight. It's over a long period of time. But there's one thing that I want to make, like when Deion Phaneuf first came here, there was this thing that he went in and he changed the radio station or changed the music, and that made him this big leader. But if you talk about culture change, I think that's where it has to start. It has to start with your captain. And I want to ask you a question because everybody's been down on Randy Carlyle, but they don't say why. Can you, the reason why we're human beings, we ask the question is why. Why are people so down on him? Is it because of results or is it something that he's not doing? Could you answer that question in a specific way that I can understand? Why is he a bad coach now? and wasn't one before. Thanks, Jeff.
I don't think Randy Carlisle's a bad coach. I think he's the wrong coach for this team. There's a big difference. He can't get through to these guys. He hasn't been able to get through to them. He oversaw a Game 7 collapse. He oversaw a collapse this season. Doesn't mean he's a bad coach. He's not a bad coach. He's a Stanley Cup winner. But he's not the right guy for this group. He's not. I think that it's that clear. On Twitter, using the hashtag Blair Show, Nazar Shadir, glad you're warming up to Shanahan. He's the right guy for this difficult and important job. Culture for me is identity. Identity. You know, I keep hearing people talk about the importance that a team has an identity. It's important the team has an identity. And Tim Lewicki mentioned he thought last year that the Leafs had an identity. They were a heavy team. They were a hard team to play against. And that's true. They were. They also, you know, went out in seven games to the Boston Bruins and collapsed. They weren't good enough last year. And that was a strike-shortened season. Teams get identity based on their performance on the ice. The Chicago Cubs have an identity of being lovable losers because that's all they've done. Right? The San Jose Sharks have an identity. They're underachievers because they don't do anything. Now, every team has an identity, a style of play. I mean, sometimes it's kind of amorphous and it can change. But there's a difference to me in style of play and identity. That's why I don't understand when people say this team needs an identity. Well, how about back-to-back playoff appearances? That would be the start of an identity. It had an identity last year. It fought everybody. It was a tough team, and it wasn't good enough. So I tend to roll my eyes when I hear people talk about an identity too much. No, just win. Like, with all due respect, the New Jersey Devils have an identity of being a boring-as-hell hockey team. I think Toronto would take them. I think Toronto hockey fans would take the Devils right now. Well, they didn't make the playoffs this year. They would take the Devils winning Stanley Cups playing the way they were playing. That's what I meant. But this idea that, you know, identity is it's one of those words that gets thrown around, and I don't think anybody knows what it means. A lot of times I think it's just a word. Joe in Hamilton, very quickly, you're on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Well, what I got from yesterday's interview was Shanahan's, his team's a little, he's opposite of Notice. He's more mean, where Notice, it seems like the Leafs have like the personality of Notice, where he's shy, quiet, and it seems like Notice gets bullied. I mean, he was bullied by Burke. Now he's going to be bullied by Shanahan.
You know, I've actually heard him in the general manager's box at games. Like he's not a wilting flower. And getting bullied by Burke, he wasn't bullied by Burke. I mean, he was Burke's right hand man. Like he wasn't bullied by him. Burke brought him in because he could work with him and gave him a set of responsibilities that he pulled off. I don't think Dave Nonis, frankly, is a problem with this team. I really don't think he's a problem with this team. He's a handy scapegoat, but I don't think he's a problem with this team. You know, the problem with this team is the coach.
Well, I wish somebody would get this team to just compete. That's probably the most disappointing thing, is they just didn't compete this year.
I agree, Joe. Look, they competed last year. And there were times this year where they competed, but down the stretch when things started going poorly, there was nobody who could stop the bleeding. There really wasn't. And that, again, to me, is a reflection. I mean, I'm sorry, that's a reflection of the coaching staff. All this stuff is a reflection of the coaching staff. The coaching staff creates the culture, creates the environment, it puts the system in place, it puts the structures in place. It's what it does. And it failed. And anybody who looks anyplace else, anybody who looks at David Nonis as being the reason for that is just wrong. 416-870-0590, star 591, 888-666-0590. If you use the hashtag Blair Show, you can join the conversation on Twitter. Stephen Brent and Bob McCowan had a terrific interview with Tim Lewicki and Brendan Shanahan yesterday. As I said, I learned more in the interview in about 10 minutes with Lewicki than I learned in all the everything I heard and saw yesterday afternoon. Stephen Brent's going to join us. We're going to talk about Tim Lewicki, and we're going to chew over this idea that perhaps Tim Lewicki did more than name the head of hockey operations for the Toronto Maple Leafs yesterday. He may, in fact, have named his own replacement. Brunt and I will talk about that in a few minutes. This is a Jeff Blair Show, and this is Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Trending now. Now on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. The Raptors beat the Bucks to set a franchise record for most wins in a season. The Jays lose his tours for 4 to 6 months. And Shanahan didn't say truculence, belligerence, or pugnacity once. I think that's a good start. It's all trending now on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Like free sports tickets, trips, and memorabilia so you can trick your friends, colleagues, and mistresses into thinking that you're some sort of high roller? Hey, join the club.
Welcome to the club.
The Fan Club. Log on to Sportsnet590.ca. Now more of the Jeff Blair Show on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Truly disturbing news. Disturbing. Truly disturbing news in the world of music today, according to the Daily Mail. AC/DC may be, in fact, shutting it down due to health concerns about one of its band members. And the Daily Mail wouldn't lie. So this is a developing story, and I'm sure we'll stay on top of it. Bob McCowan and Stephen Brent had their turn with Tim Lewicki and Brandon Shanahan yesterday. And I mean, look, Brandon Shanahan and Tim Lewicki were all over the place yesterday, understandably. But the interview with Tim Lewicki on Primetime Sports, I found to be revealing for a couple of instances and for a couple of reasons. And they did, one of them was a suggestion by Tim Lewicki that, in fact, this probably isn't a surprise, but it was the clearest I'd heard him make it, that David Nonis's job, David Nonis's relationship with Brandon Shanahan was subject to review at the end of the season. And Tim Lewicki also had kind of, a surprising and maybe revealing answer to the suggestions in some circles that he, in fact, does not necessarily long for his current position as president and CEO of MLSE. So I want to play these two clips. This is Tim Lewicki talking about the relationship between David Nonis and Brandon Shanahan.
The two of them will work through the year and see how that relationship evolves and develops. And at the end of the year, this time next year, hopefully May or June, we'll sit down and have a conversation about how it went and go from there.
So that is not a vote of confidence, I wouldn't think. Secondly, this story has kind of been making the rounds. And I mean, I'd heard it when Tim Lewicki took over. And I know other people have spoken about it. This idea that Tim Lewicki is kind of looking at this position with MLSE as kind of a bridge to perhaps another job. And this is what Tim Lewicki said when he was asked about this topic by Stephen Brunt.
I think what I want to do here is build a organization where all three teams are going at the same time. And so that's my commitment. Is there going to be, you know, am I here for the next 20 years? No, that's part of what we're doing with Brendan Shanahan and Masai and with Tim Bez and the people we put in place here. So I don't ever want to mislead people and make them think that I'm going to retire at the ripe old age of 75 or 80 years old at Maple Leaf Sports and Entertainment. That said, I've been asked to do a job here, and the number one priority for me is to make sure I'm accountable to the fans and to the media and to our owners here, which is we got to get all three of these teams going at the same time. We're two out of three. And we, unfortunately, have work to do on the one that I know matters the most, which is the Maple Leafs. But I think we took a pretty good step today.
That is Tim Lewicki talking to Stephen Brunt and Bob McCowan on Primetime Sports yesterday. Stephen Brunt joining us on the Jeff Blair Show. Steve, thanks so much for doing this, and thanks for asking that question, because, look, you know as well as I do, there are people out there, and you know, I've spoken, I made the point the day that Tim Lewicki was hired here. I spoke to somebody who knew him from AEG and had worked with him and was a sports consultant. He said, Jeff, this guy will be there for a couple of years. And, you know, he said the second that he gets a sense that Toronto may not be getting an NFL team in 5 years, he'll be gone.
Well, and beyond that, Jeff, there have been rumbles in the last few months that he's not happy. You know, that's something several people have heard, including me, that a lot of it was kind of put down to that we had a terrible winter and he didn't like it. But, you know, I think he's also found it a a difficult organization to run because of the structure of ownership, and you can understand why that might be a difficult one to run. But I thought it was interesting yesterday that it was as though he was ticking off boxes, and you know, leave that open to interpretation.
Sure.
The Toronto FC and the basketball team are fixed. Might be a little early to make that call, but fine. The third box would be the Toronto Maple Leafs, and the fourth one, unstated, is, as you said, the National Football League team, because I think that's one of the big reasons he was hired, especially on the Larry Tannenbaum front, was to try and take a shot at an NFL team. Well, the Bills are in play now because of Ralph Wilson's death. That will be resolved one way or another, I would think, in the next 6 months. And I Bob went a long way farther down this road maybe than I would have last night, but
mm-hmm.
you know, Bob thinks he's gone, essentially.
Yep.
I think the over-under is probably a year from now, but he did sound like a guy who is passing through. And, you know, maybe that's been the truth from day one, but, you know, you've got to wonder about some of the stuff he may have had to deal with in the, over the winter as well, in terms of the kind of strange three-headed monster that is the ownership of MLSE.
Well, yeah, and you know, I've got to think, too, that, I mean, let's be honest, the Rogers coming to an agreement with the NHL on that multi-platform contract, that kind of introduces a whole new dynamic. And I guess that dynamic was going to be introduced likely in one way or another. But that kind of changed. That had to, Steve. I mean, these are human beings. Yeah, they're businessmen, but they're also human beings. And that had to have some sort of impact on the internal dynamics in that boardroom. It just had to.
Yeah, no, it had to. They're competitors. And the NHL deal did not go down well with the folks at Bell. We know that, and you can understand why. You know, there's been some scuffling about the Toronto Argonauts and whether MLSE would buy the Toronto Argonauts. Well, you know darn well that one of those two telecoms would love to have MLSE buy the Toronto Argonauts because they're a big part of the CFL and they've got the CFL rights, and the other side has no interest in that whatsoever. You know, Bell and Rogers agreed to vote together on that board on all matters, but it's hard to imagine that is a happy marriage right now. There's no reason why it would be, and you know, that plus, again, Larry Tannenbaum has his own agenda. That would be a very, very difficult, you know, if you're Tim Lewicki and you're supposed to be, say, ticking off boxes and fixing a whole bunch of things, you know, you would be being pulled in different and occasionally opposite directions by the people who are paying your salary.
Steve, what did you take away, again, very early, I know, in Brendan Shanahan's tenure here, but I'll tell you what, I thought he came off better than I expected. He was properly political. I thought he held his tongue a couple of times, but I came away largely impressed by the vagueness of it, because I thought it was, frankly, I thought it was a circumstance, a situation that demanded vagueness, and I thought he stick-handled his way pretty well around it.
Well, I think he is an astute politician.
Oh, that, yeah, this is not like your dumb, tough hockey player who's lucked into jobs.
No.
He's a political animal.
You know, and that's how he is, you know, that's how he made his ascendance into the NHL head office. I think he's politicked his way to a degree from his playing career right into the front office and now right into a president's job. You know, I'm not saying that is a bad thing. I think it's a skill set is what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yesterday was the polar opposite of Brian Burke's arrival when he got up there and made all kinds of pronouncements about what kind of team he was going to have and what they were going to do and how he was going to do it. Brendan didn't say anything. And, you know, there are buzzwords like, you know, culture and winning culture and high-end sports. I have no idea how you achieve that other than winning. You know, it's mm-hmm. a chicken and egg proposition, right? Every winning team I've known has a great winning culture, and every losing team I've known doesn't. But I'm not sure that you can impose that from on high. You know, it's not about, you know, you remember Ken Dryden was hired as president because he had, you know, and one of the things they talked about was, well, he knows what it's like to have a classy winning organization because he was part of the Canadiens when they were both of those things. But you can't just graft that. You can't mm-hmm. come in and say, we're going to make these guys sort of like the Detroit Red Wings, because, you know, the Detroit Red Wings are the Detroit Red Wings for all kinds of reasons. He didn't say anything. He didn't say much of anything. But poor Dave Nonis sitting there. Although poor Dave Nonis having just signed a 5-year extension, so
yeah,
you know, no one's going to have tag day for the guy, even if they fire him. But you know, to have your Tim Lewicki sit there and say the team, you know, essentially has failed and directionless, and well, that's somebody's fault, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, it's got to be the only. You know, there's one absent party there, who's Randy Carlyle, but it can't be all his fault. So I don't see how that can work, despite all of the talk about how it's going to work between Shanahan and Nonis. I just don't see how that can possibly work down the road.
No, I think you're 100% right with that. Hey, Steve, listen, it was a terrific job by you and the Bobcat yesterday, and thanks so much for doing this morning.
Thanks. See you, Jeff.
Take care. That is Stephen Brunt of Sportsnet and also Primetime Sports. And again, if you get a chance, I would strongly urge you to listen to McCown and Brunt's interview with Tim Lewicki and Brendan Shanahan yesterday on Primetime Sports. You'll get more to that than you got out of anything else. Going to shift focus to baseball. The Jays had the day off. They're back at it in Minnesota. And that sound is Jose Bautista and Edwin Encarnacion already getting out of the ballpark. These guys love playing in Minnesota Target Field. They hit the snot out of the ball there. Joe Siddle, our Blue Jays radio analyst, will join us from Minnesota to get you set for the series. Back in a few minutes.
One better than the Fantastic Four. Sportsnet's five superhuman platforms. Apps, magazine, TV, web, and radio. Sportsnet 590 The Fan.